beverages.
Yep.
This podcast is sponsored by New Holland Brewery.
I know, like nine of them.
Yeah.
One, two, three.
Yeah, we got a bunch of different ones so far. So
Dragon's Milk's the best one.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. So, Josh, why don't you tell the good people on Periscope what we do here on the Smart Spot Podcast?
So, best way to describe our podcast in five words, no particular order.
Five.
Wrestling, weird, beards, beer, and positivity.
Positivity.
Wrestling because it's a wrestling podcast.
Yep.
Weird because we couldn't do it any other way.
Nope.
Beers because they're delicious. Beards because they're fucking awesome. And positivity because there just isn't enough in the world.
Not enough in it. Especially in the wrestling world. Who?
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 Rob English? Oh.
What? Dude,
the darkness is back.
The darkness is back. The darkness. Rob went dark. But I like it. It's entertaining.
Yeah, before I keep sipping my beer.
Oh, yeah.
Let's start this bitch off right.
Chug.
Chug with us.
Cheers.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages.
The podcast will do it.
Proudly brings to you, Tag Team Champion of the World.
Joshua Brown.
What an ovation. The fans are on their feet.
Now, if you're not down with that, we got two words for you.
Two.
Sweet. It doesn't matter what your name is.
I said, give me the hell,
yeah. It's Rusev Day.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Smart Spot Podcast. I am your host, Leo Mainville, along with my co-host, the beautiful, the lovely, the bearded, Joshua Brown.
Better late than never. I'm going to see how you somehow edit that in the right time.
I'll make it happen. It's magic, baby. It's magic. Yeah. But yeah, let's talk about the card before we get into Raw and SmackDown.
Sure, let's do it.
Raw and SmackDown doesn't really play anything into the greatest Royal Rumble card. Yeah. I have some questions about it.
Yeah.
And I'm going to bring that up when we talk about it. So let's talk about, there's an IC title match with a ladder with four hot stars. Of course, the champion, Seth Rollins.
Burn it down, baby.
Finn Balor.
You shouldn't do the other thing that you could have done for that.
Oh, I could have, but I'm not going to.
Don't.
It's not big enough.
Nope.
Hey-o! Then you got...
So veiny.
So veiny. It's pretty. Then you got The Miz. And last but not least, Samoa freaking Joe.
Samoa Joe.
This match just has beautifully... artistic wrestling written all over it.
With you got a bruiser in there. You got it like the classic, like, oh man, it's like the triple threat, but throwing, you know, just something special in with it. I don't see how it probably will be the best match on the card.
Absolutely.
I'm totally excited for it.
So predictions, who do you think's going to take the belt?
Seth Rollins is retaining. Absolutely.
I like that pick.
The two guys from SmackDown aren't taking the IC title to SmackDown.
I've had a little bit of a conundrum with my smarkiness in my head thinking about wrestling the past few weeks. So we had the Superstar Shakeup. Everyone went to their shows that they got traded to. So let's talk about this next match. It'll kind of lead into where I'm going. So you have The Bar, who are the Raw Tag Team Champions.
No, they're not.
Or no, I'm sorry, it was Lecko. So was no Lecko. One's the Raw Tag Team Champ. But The Bar's on SmackDown now. Mm-hmm. And they're fighting Matt Hardy, Woken, and Woken Bray Wyatt for the Raw Tag Team Champions. Now the smarky thing in my head goes, well, no shit, it's going to be the Woken Warriors because...
Woken Warriors!
Warriors! Ha, 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 ha! Bray Wyatt.
It's good. I like it.
Run.
Run.
But in my head, I'm thinking, okay, well, they're going to win because they're on Raw and The Bar's on SmackDown.
You are correct.
Now, to go forward, now that every single pay-per-view going forward is co-branded, there's an idea in my head that goes, well, what if they can trade belts? Like, what if someone on SmackDown can win the IC title and bring it over, and they have the United States and IC for a little bit, and that's how the belts go. Not the Raw and SmackDown, because they're branded as Raw and SmackDown, but if there's a unification of tag team titles, both Raw and SmackDown can vie for it at these co-branded pay-per-views.
I think you could go that route, but now that the Smack... Now that the tag division is so large, I think you got to keep two titles. So I think there's like 15 or 16 teams now.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you notice on Raw and SmackDown both, there were so many tag matches.
Yes.
On both shows.
Yeah. So I don't think it's going to be that complex. Okay. I think they're going to keep it simple. I think when we're looking at this card isn't for the smarks.
Mm-hmm.
This is to get over in a... Basically in a territory you've never been in.
Sure.
So your big stars are always going to win these matches at this event. So,
oh yeah.
Obviously somebody's not going to steal it and go to another show. Your champions are going to retain most likely, except for maybe one, which we'll talk about later. But yeah, no, I just don't see how the bar wins being on SmackDown.
No, absolutely. I agree with that.
I think you'll see the bar kind of take a step back for a little bit.
Yeah.
They've had a really nice run at the top. They might go back to them kind of being a little funny and having some fun on SmackDown.
Cool. I'd like to see them in more bar fights.
That's what I was just thinking as I said that. I'd definitely like to see Sheamus and Cesaro kick somebody's ass in a bar again. That'd
right.
be fun.
Jinder Mahal versus Jeff Hardy for the U.S. title. Who do you got?
You know, that's the one other belt that's kind of hard to decide because Jinder's such a big... draw for non-Americans, so mm-hmm. I could totally see him kind of pulling that back because you could keep that run going between the two of them.
Yeah,
but Jinder's now on Raw.
See, and that's where that thought process comes
so,
in.
So they'll probably play it with the traditional baby face. So these people probably know who the Hardy Boys are. They've been around forever.
Mm-hmm.
They probably don't know so much about Jinder Mahal except that he looks like maybe he's from that part of the country.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's like a weird way of looking at it, but you know, I'm just trying to visualize how they're thinking about it. But
yeah.
The fact that he's already on Raw, I don't see how Jeff Hardy loses.
I'm going with Jinder.
Don't hinder Jinder. So they're going to move Jinder back to SmackDown?
No, they keep him on Raw, but they move the belts. I think the IC title and the US title have a chance in the next year to be interchangeable between both brands.
So you're going to pull the strap off of Seth Rollins after he got it and he hasn't...
Oh, no. Seth Rollins is winning the IC title match.
So you're saying the IC and the US title are going to Raw for this foreseeable future?
Yeah, for at least until Backlash. Because then they have the rematch of Backlash
and
he wins
it back.
Oh,
rematch of Backlash.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you do have Samoa Joe and Roman at Backlash.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're going to see Raw and SmackDown people fighting each other. I guarantee it. At more of these joint pay-per-views.
I think it's still a little too complex.
It might be. I could be totally
initially
wrong.
Because you had to get through all the... I don't think they thought through the shakeup all the way before they made some of these decisions, and then they said, oh, this would make more sense. I don't know.
Why does The Miz get two title shots?
Because he's the fucking Miz.
And he deserves it.
Miz should be vying for that WWE championship here pretty soon.
Absolutely.
And probably being the champ.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying.
For quite a while.
Yeah, I'd love for him to have the title for a while.
And I restate my previous statement. He doesn't deserve it. He earned it.
Yeah. No, yeah. Well, I mean, I think they kind of go hand in hand.
Yeah. Agreed. I don't know.
The Miz can have a title shot whenever he wants.
It's easier to chant you deserve it than you earned it.
True story.
What else is on the card? John Cena, Triple H? Who you got?
I definitely think John Cena's winning.
John Cena, for sure. Let's talk about this Undertaker versus
Rusev Day.
Now, when they announced the Greatest Royal Rumble, they announced this match on top of it. A week later, they announced that Rusev wasn't going to be the participant in this match. It was going to be Chris Jericho. And then the week after... Chris Jericho is now in the Greatest Royal Rumble, and Rusev is reinserted back into the match, apparently because Lana gave a big stir-up with Rusev about it and WWE. Apparently. This might be all kayfabe.
This might be a whole shoot.
Which I'm okay with, because I'm intrigued.
Yeah.
So they're literally going to bury Rusev.
Oh, absolutely. Nobody's beaten the Undertaker in a casket match. That's his match.
Exactly.
I mean, you got to have somebody to, you got to have cannon fodder. And Rusev is so over right now, it doesn't matter if he loses. I hate to say it because I want to see him win.
Yes.
But he's at a point right now where I kind of feel like him losing is just keeping him over.
Yeah, because people want him to win.
They want him to win so bad. So once he gets that run, it's going to go freaking nuclear. They just can't wait on it. They can't sleep on it too long.
Yeah,
but exactly. Nobody's going to be upset if he loses to Undertaker. I mean, if you are, you're just a little too smarky.
Exactly. WWE News fake news from underscore the real Donald Trump.
Wrong. Wrong.
Now, I love this booking, mainly for the fact of what we just talked about. WWE knows that Rusev is over. They know Rusev, or at least the Rusev Day chant is over.
No, I think he's over. I think him and Aiden have put themselves over, and then the Rusev Day chant is just incredible on top of it. But agreed. I don't think it would last if it wasn't because of the two of them. So I think,
yeah,
the chant is over, but I think it's kind of like the same way with Braun Strowman and Get These Hands.
Yes.
Braun Strowman is so over, but Get These Hands might be the most over thing right now, especially after Raw this week or SmackDown this week.
Raw.
I know Rusev's on SmackDown, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Braun Strowman's on Raw.
Yeah.
Sorry, I don't know where I was going with that. It's because Sammy and Kevin are on Raw, and it's screwing me up real bad.
Right, yeah.
Because he was destroying them. But
what other matches? So we have John Cena that. Usos and Bludgeon Brothers? Is that a Greater Royal Rumble, or is that Backlash?
That might be Backlash.
I think so.
Seven titles. So World, Universal.
No, I think it's a Greater Royal Rumble then.
U.S., so it's all the titles minus the women's, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
So they're up. So it's that Greatest Royal Rumble. Who's retaining?
You just answered your own name question.
No, yeah. Bludgeon Brothers are retaining.
Yeah, absolutely. They're so strong. Although there was a nice little bit of a hiccup, which I didn't expect this week.
Oh, on SmackDown?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, which we'll get to.
Absolutely.
I did see that part. So.
Okay, cool. Good. Now, let's talk about this 50-man Royal Rumble. How long is this match going to be, Josh?
Fucking forever.
Unless they just start throwing people out just to get it going.
Yeah, but I think you'll see some of that. But
hour and a half, you think?
Probably.
I think it's going to be a four-hour pay-per-view.
Somebody said 6 hours.
Gosh,
12 to 6.
Oh, gross. I was hoping to watch it before I go to work on Friday.
Gonna have to have the WWE on your phone while you're opening.
Oh, I'm going to. Well, I don't open Friday, thankfully.
Oh, you don't.
I go in at 5. So I was watching it at noon. Like, okay, cool. I get a little wrestling, live wrestling pay-per-view before work. Sweet.
Yes.
So that means I have to edit this tonight before tomorrow, which I will do. Who's going to win it? Who's going to win this 50-man Royal Rumble, Josh? I think they've only announced maybe like 12 or 13 people.
I think most of the people who are in title matches will also be in this 50-man.
Yeah.
So I totally expect Seth Rollins and Finn Balor and The Miz to all be there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure Samoa Joe will show up.
Braun Strowman.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, so, that's probably the number one person to pick. I will tell you who will be in there the longest.
Roman Reigns?
Chris Jericho.
Yeah.
He always stays in forever, dude.
Always.
I think I agree with you. I think Braun Strowman is the most likely competitor to win. Unless they want to just give a gigantic push to Bobby Lashley, which they may do.
They could.
Horse is Bobby Lashley. So they're trying to get him over.
One second.
Yeah. Where are you going? Where are you going, buddy? I have the potty already. You're going to leave me here all alone? 6 cups of coffee. Damn, dude. Yeah, so definitely Braun Strowman, probably the favorite. I like the idea of Bobby Lashley being a dark horse because they really are trying to give him a push right now. I don't see anybody else winning the damn thing, unfortunately. I think it's pretty writing on the wall unless Periscope, you think somebody else or have a better idea. somebody said there was going to be some Saudi wrestlers. They were testing them out to be involved in it. So that'll be cool. They'll get a nice little pop from the crowd. Did you hear about that? That they're going to have some Saudi professional wrestlers in the Royal Rumble?
That's cool.
Yeah, I saw some stuff online where Triple H was there as they were running through the paces and seeing who could make it. So okay. I think that'd be pretty cool when they announce those. I'm sure the crowd will go huge.
Oh, yeah.
So, but I agree. I don't see anybody else.
I just love how global pro wrestling is right now.
It kind of has been for a long time. It just was never, I don't want to say cool, but like.
Cool.
It's always been cool. But it's now very du jour, very popular in terms of like wrestling kind of used to be like the typical like nerdy guys watching wrestling.
Yeah.
You know, in the basement of their mom's house.
It was like the, man, I suck with words this week. Guilty pleasure.
Yeah. Yeah. It kind of still is a guilty pleasure, but it's just much more popular and mainstream now than it ever has been, I think.
Yeah.
And that's part of what their whole push has been. You know, John Cena has been huge for that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, getting the different people to come in, you know, starting with like back in the day with like Donald Trump and Arnold Schwarzenegger and Mike Tyson, like bringing in people that are popular outside of wrestling to try to get pulling more audience and make it more than just like a little niche thing.
Yeah. Which is the main reason I think signing Ronda Rousey was one of the smartest moves they've done in a long time.
Yeah, absolutely. Because people everywhere is wanting to know about her. So.
Oh, yeah. So I think that's the greatest Royal Rumble.
No.
What did we miss?
The main event.
The 50-man Royal Rumble? Oh.
That's not the main event.
You know why I didn't think about it?
Duty head. Old poopy pants.
Because I can see Brock Lesnar winning this match.
You know what? I wouldn't be surprised.
I wouldn't be either.
Nothing surprises me anymore. So I think the feel-good story is Roman wins, but I agree. I could totally see him just getting his ass kicked again. It would be awesome if they played him up like they did John Cena last year and Roman loses his smile. I kind of like that whole angle with these.
And joins AOP.
Tony's going to join, start the new Shield with AOP.
That'd be awesome.
Become a monster heel.
I'd be cool with that. But, I honestly, I can see them giving Roman the win here in Saudi Arabia because I think the crowd would blow up. I think they would.
And it would bring a lot of credence. Like, that one thing right there would put a lot of credence on this pay-per-view.
Sure.
Like, oh my God, Roman beat Brock in Saudi Arabia. It's like the thrill in Manila all over again.
Yes. And just imagine all of the video packages they could do with Roman winning the Universal title against Brock Lesnar with 60,000 people chanting for Roman Reigns.
I'm trying to think of how to do something like the thrill in the Manila. What rhymes with Jeddah? Yeah, let's move on. We'll figure out. Now I'm pissed. I couldn't think up something on the spot.
Right. It'll come to us.
Yeah.
Always does. Always does.
I just don't want to keep thinking about it for the whole thing and not think about anything else.
All right. So I think I want Roman to win.
Yeah, I think most people want Roman to win, except for all the basement bros.
I'm going with Roman. I'm sticking with Roman.
It was surprising. Speaking of Roman,
yes.
It was surprising this week how many cheers he got. Mm-hmm. After the last couple of weeks in real smarky territories, smarky cities, he was booed out of the building.
Well, it wasn't as smarky as they were in Stanford, Connecticut last
Hartford.
Week. Hartford, that's right. So, you just want to get down into it?
You want to get down and dirty?
Down and dirty?
We were born for greatness.
Raw. Yes, let's get down dirty and raw.
Let's do this.
So, classy WWE, Bruno Sammartino passed this past week. So they held a really cool tribute video. All the superstars and everyone in the back came out. It was awesome.
And they did the bell 10 times like they do for all the the big stars when they pass. It was good. It was awesome. Everybody had on a shirt.
Mm-hmm. And then Brock Lesnar comes out with Paul Heyman.
Yep.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brock Lesnar does not gloat. Brock Lesnar conquers. Paul Heyman gloats over the fact that Brock Lesnar hit multiple F5s, left Roman Reigns in a heap like some piece of Samoan trash to be thrown out the next morning, and pinning him in the biggest WrestleMania of all time.
What were your thoughts on about this promo? The Paul Heyman promo.
It was very heelish. I liked it. He had gotten the crowd to boo Brock Lesnar, which is hard to do.
It is.
He was really working it. I knew Reigns was going to show up at some point.
Of course.
I didn't know how it was going to go. But he came out and he got cheers. So I feel like they did their job. I mean, they set this up, babyface versus heel. I'm sure all the marks aren't very happy with it, but whatever. It's not really playing to them.
No.
At this point, they're just going to have to suffer and whenever this finally finishes, move on from it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was good. I mean, they definitely were like really super cocky and nasty, and he had everybody booing at the end. I just was surprised. I don't really remember the substance of it. I was listening to the crowd a lot, trying to figure out how they were going to kind of move, and I was just really surprised that he got them. I'm not surprised that Paul Heyman could turn everybody, but he did. And then Roman came out and he was actually getting cheered. So
yes, now when I looked at it, and I've been trying to figure out this whole Roman stigma of why people boo him and all this and that, you could go and have a college course on why marks and smarks hate Roman Reigns, and you could pay $10,000-$15,000 to take this course if you wanted to. My biggest thing with Roman Reigns, and you know, everyone, if you listen to the show weekly, knows that I used to be a big Roman hater, and I've become a Roman fan. My only issue that I have with Roman Reigns sometimes, and I hate being nitpicky, but I'm going to do it. There's almost no conviction coming out of his voice in some of his promos, a la this past week. He came out, which was brave, as the announcers was like, oh my God, I can't believe he's out here in front of Brock Lesnar. He's so brave. Well, of course he's going to come out there. He shows up to work every week. That's his gimmick. Yep. That's his gimmick. He clocks into work and shows up.
He's the dutiful employee. Always there.
But he came out, talked to Brock Lesnar, and was like, we're going to meet in Jeddah. Greatest Royal Rumble. Cage match. I'll beat you up. See ya. And just left.
The Armageddon in Jeddah.
Boom! I like that. The Armageddon in Jeddah. Yes. Coin that phrase right here on the Sparkspot podcast. But I just sometimes he throws fire promos, and he's done it in the past. Before the WrestleMania.
I think he's as tired with this program as all of us are. Yeah. I mean, honestly, he doesn't take me as a type that is ever going to be a great actor. Mm-hmm. So if you hit on something that he's hot about or he's into, it's going to be fire.
Like when him and John Cena were feuding.
Oh, it was awesome.
It was amazing. Those promos they had back and forth, you could feel the realness behind it.
Well, and the start of this feud was great, but it's like they made him do this kind of weird turn that he switched into this, oh, I'm always going to strap up my boots and go to work every day instead of being like the big dog and this is my yard and I'm protecting the yard
right.
and protecting the boys and protecting the business. Because this guy's a money-grabbing prize fighter. And they kind of got away from that.
And they shouldn't have.
And that's what he is. I mean, Roman is like the leader guy. I mean, I just don't think he's happy with the way this has turned out. And you could kind of tell in his promos.
Yeah. It's like
I agree with you. It doesn't seem like he's as fired up as he was at the beginning of this run to WrestleMania.
Because it's like they gave him a piece of paper with five lines on it. Said, read these five lines and you're done. Yep. And then he was just like, fine, I'll go out there.
It was a super short promo. So
it was.
He just didn't. I'm sure he wanted to do something. He probably wanted to wrestle that night.
I think it was DX. He said on Periscope, he said the last time Roman was in a match was a gauntlet match. And I'm sure that was like months ago. So he's probably like, dude, I haven't wrestled.
To get in the ring.
Yeah, I wrestled at WrestleMania a couple weeks ago. Before that was like probably a month or so ago. Maybe 2 months.
Well, before this whole program with Brock, I mean, he was literally wrestling every week.
Yeah.
I mean, it's good we've gotten a break from his wrestling so that like when we see him put on a fire match, it'll be like, man, I've really missed that.
Exactly.
I think part of the problem with the way booking is now in wrestling, we see so many like stars fight each other. I think the whole reason nobody wanted to say that triple threat intercontinental match at WrestleMania was so good because we've seen that match before.
Yes.
We've seen those pairs each other wrestle many times.
Mm-hmm.
So if you've seen some of these sequences they use 4 or 5 times, you just become numb to it.
It's not as special.
If it was the first time seeing it, then you're like, holy shit. You know, like that first time John Cena flipped AJ Styles last year in one of their big matches.
That was
that
insane.
Pin.
Yeah.
And we'd never seen that. And I lost my shit because I was like, oh my God, John Cena's not doing one of his 5 moves.
Yep.
We don't get that as much now. And I think that's one of the things that I think a lot of people don't think about or just kind of like look at some of these matches that are incredible. It's because we're so numb to incredible moves and incredible matches all the time that it's hard to really get up for a big match when you've maybe seen it 3 or 4 times, especially leading up to that event.
Yeah, exactly. And I think now with as stacked as both rosters are now on both sides on Raw and SmackDown, use those main event stars to have those promo times and then have the superstars that don't have any direction or story. Let the wrestling tell the story because
yeah.
Now you have time to build up and do more stories and rivalries because of wrestling.
And I'm all about positivity and all, but can we stop putting singles wrestlers in tag matches and actually use these awesome tag teams?
Please.
Or at least have these singles pair up to take on a tag team, not two other singles. So we got 4 singles in a tag match.
Please.
I get it. You don't want to show that match exactly, but you still see those same sequences.
Yeah.
It's like the whole, we talked about it, the Roman... the Seth Rollins buckle bombing Roman and Roman Superman punching him out of that.
We saw that like seven times.
Fucking Monday Night Raw and then turn around and saw it on a pay-per-view, and by the pay-per-view we were like,
oh, because we saw it already.
Had we seen that for the first time at the pay-per-view, we'd have been like, oh, man, like gone out of our chair.
Exactly.
Like we did on Monday Night Raw, but we didn't do it for the pay-per-view. So
mm-hmm.
I think that's something that's kind of... something I've been thinking about recently that I've noticed and has kind of frustrated me a little bit.
I think they're in a part now where they were doing it to kind of toe the line to get viewers on Monday Night
sure.
Raw. But now they have such a big, I feel like their following and their viewership has gone up over the last 4 years. Like since we started rewatching wrestling, why do it now? Save those for the big pay-per-view events, the people that pay $9.99 a month on your wonderful WWE network that you can get the greatest Royal Rumble for free tomorrow.
If you sign up, you get the first month free.
You do. 30 days free. Boom. But why give that away on free TV now? Maybe five years ago, totally. I understand that because you're trying to build more people, but you have a loyal following now, and a majority of that loyal following are getting shitty about it.
Yeah, I mean, your hardcore fan base is upset because they do buy the network. They've had the network for years, like me and you.
Mm-hmm.
And we watch Monday Night Raw and SmackDown religiously, probably more religiously than I would have if we didn't have a podcast.
Correct.
but, you know, we watch it every week, so we're seeing this all the time. And I know you're trying to hook the casual fan that might flip over in the second hour for Monday Night Raw, see the end of the second hour, top of the third, and see that huge match. Everybody knows when it's going to go down. But you don't have to show that every week. And I think they're getting better about it. I think you're right. I think the shakeup was a good leveler in terms of talent. You don't have so much top-heavy talent on Raw now.
Yeah.
Got a little more balanced talent on SmackDown. So hopefully we won't be seeing these feuds be like the same match over and over again. Seeing Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn versus... Braun Strowman and Bobby Lashley probably not going to see that again. So that was fun
and
exciting. And, you know, we already knew before that match began how it was going to turn out. So,
yeah.
First match of the night, Elias taking on Bobby Roode.
Oh, this was just there.
Well, two things about this that I really enjoyed.
Okay.
Bobby Roode interrupted Elias.
That was nice.
I love that.
Because his entrance is...
glorious! And that Elias won in a chicken shit heel fashion on Bobby Roode's debut.
Yes.
I love that because it gets over Bobby and everybody already loves Elias, so it doesn't matter.
Exactly.
So, was it a fantastic match? Not necessarily. It wasn't bad.
It's what it needed to do.
Yeah, but it got done what it needed to do, and I'm okay with that. What?
I just, like, I kept thinking that at the end of the match, I was like, Elias won a match? He hasn't won a match in forever.
And it was the perfect opponent to win against.
It was, because they really, really want to make Bobby Roode this face.
Yeah, and that's how you do it.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to get into a little mini feud. Hopefully it'll be really good.
Yeah, I can see it becoming really good.
I want him to come in and interrupt the glorious entrance.
Yes, with a guitar over the back. Because you know what's happening. I hope he's on that platform.
On the rolling around, he just smacks in. And then he pulls out another guitar and he starts playing a song.
While standing on the platform and the mist is coming out. Be awesome.
And then we got the, what are they even calling them? The Woken Warriors?
I don't know if they have a technical team name, but we've been calling them the Woken Warriors.
Yeah. Bray Wyatt and Matt Hardy took on the Ascension. I mean, that's what they're there for, right?
Yeah, they are.
Yeah. Did you hear him say something about, I didn't realize they were going to take on the Ascension, but I knew it as soon as they did the little background thing. And he was like, now we go to the wasteland. Yeah. I was like, oh, it's the Ascension. I forgot they're on Raw.
Yep.
So.
Job match.
Mm-hmm.
But it was fun. I enjoyed it. I enjoy the Ascension, too.
They're great wrestlers.
They're really good in the ring.
They're an excellent traditional, like, big little tag team. Their gimmick's terrible.
Yes.
I mean, it worked in NXT, but I feel like certain things get over in NXT that aren't going to get over the mainstream audience.
Correct. Well, they didn't also, in NXT, they didn't have the face paint and the Road Warrior getup when they came over to the main roster.
It's a little goofy, but I like that they, I kind of hope if they keep them that way, that they go back to being like goofy, funny with like,
With Breezango.
With these guys.
Hell yeah. That would work. So the Woken Warriors won, full fashion, putting them over for the greatest Royal Rumble pay-per-view. Yep.
Where they should come away as the Raw Tag Team Champions.
Oh, and they will.
Yep. Which led the next segment, which was the first Sammy and Kevin show.
I love this. This was wonderful.
Yep. Talked about how they're going to win the greatest Royal Rumble. And prove why Stephanie McMahon handpicked them to be on Raw.
Who was their guest on the first ever Sammy and Kevin show?
Not only the general manager of Monday Night Raw, Mr. You Suck, Kurt Angle.
I love how they started chanting You Suck before he even came out. Yeah. They were like, You Suck!
And a one, and a two, and a one, two, three, four. You suck! You suck! You suck! You suck! Music! Everybody sing along and let's welcome our Raw General Manager, Kurt Angle.
Did you hear how horrible Sammy and Kevin sang the You Suck song? It was incredible. I love the whole gimme pulling, the gimmick of Sammy pulling out his reading glasses.
I love it. I think it's fantastic.
With his stupid hat.
My favorite thing was when Kurt Angle came down to the ring. First, they had to get all the pictures out of the way because all they had were pictures of them beating the shit out of Shane McMahon. I thought that was awesome. Yes. So they go, oh, Kurt, we're so sorry. We didn't even have a chair for you, but I think I got one under here. And they pull out a kid's
old school lawn chair. I thought he was going to sit in it and fall through it. Like
he almost did.
Kurt Angle's not a small person. He like sat on the frame like a smart guy.
That's
like,
why he leaned on it.
Yeah. But basically, they came out there to try to humiliate him.
Which
Kurt Angle, who's doing well for a second. Kurt Angle's been really good at the comeback lately. And he dropped the hammer on them, reminded them that not only is he going to be in the greatest Royal Rumble, but also Daniel Bryan and Chris Jericho. And Kevin Owens sold it so well. You could just tell him he was like, Oh, fuck.
That's why he's one of the greatest superstars on the roster.
Yeah. And then he told him that they could have a match tonight, a tag team match, and they're going to take on the duo of Bobby Lashley and Braun, get these hands Strowman.
My favorite part about it as well was when Kurt Angle, Kurt, you need this job, right? Because you have kids.
Kurt, I don't want to be the one to tell you how to live. You do you. But I'm just saying, if it were me, I probably wouldn't brag about something like that.
Yeah, especially right? Considering everybody knows how desperate, how desperately you need this job.
Yeah, what do you got, like 5 kids?
Actually, it's 6. See, right there, there's your mistake. You forgot Jason Jordan.
That's no big deal. For years, Kurt kind of forgot about him, too.
I love that they keep using that backstory against him. Like, I think it's genius.
It's pretty awesome.
It is. I like it.
So we found out that was going to be what, the main event or one of the big events?
I think tonight.
It wasn't the main event.
No. Mm-mm. But yeah, there's a match between Braun Strowman, Bobby Lashley versus Cammy Seven.
Cammy Zanes,
because he's insane in the membrane.
Words. Cammy Zanes.
What we got next?
Next, we got a continuation from last week after the introduction of Drew McIntyre, who's Dolph Ziggler's new boy.
They remind me a lot of Diesel and Ayo. It's me flicking
the bad guy?
Toothpick. The bad guy. Scott Hall.
Yes. The Outsiders?
Yeah. Well, before they were Outsiders.
Yeah.
When they were just Diesel and
Razor Ramon.
Thank you.
Wow.
This guy. My brain. I wish I had a toothpick. Hey, yo. Flick it right in your fucking face.
Say hi to the bad guy. But that's what they remind me of.
Yeah, a little bit. Except Dolph Ziggler sucks.
Yeah, pretty much. He's not the show stealer. He's just there.
Just the creepy guy in the cricket commercial to me.
Mm-hmm.
At least he didn't have a French braid in his hair this time.
I will say I enjoyed their intro because it was first. It was...
Drew McIntyre's intro is fire.
It's the shit. With the bagpipes playing and everything. Yeah. And then he came out and then you hear the... Because they record scratch on music. That makes sense.
Shouldn't they play his music and then record scratch to nothing?
That's what they did.
No. They played record Drew's, scratch...
They well, played yeah, Drew's.
Yeah. Always before, it was like you'd hear the record scratch, nothing, and then they play his music.
Yeah, which made no sense.
Make no sense. Okay, so what you're saying is they record scratch Adam McIntyre's music into Dolph Ziggler's.
Correct.
Okay. That makes a lot more sense than what it was before.
I actually popped for that.
You would, music dork.
I did.
So we got to see the first time of Ziggler and McIntyre, and they take on Titus
Worldwide.
As we kind of figured, because last week they got into a little bit of a tiff.
Yes.
Got into a little kerfuffle.
Kerfuffle.
Haven't used that one in a while.
I like it.
But yeah, so we got to see the pretty much McIntyre wrestle for the first time, which did not disappoint.
No. And you're right, dude. Like after last week's episode, and you're like, I'm going to say it. He's an attractive man. Now I look at him, I'm like, oh man, man crush.
Yeah.
He's a good looking dude.
I told my wife, I was like, you got to check this guy out.
Oh.
And she was like, oh. And then after the match, he started talking. I was like, she was like, is that his real accent? And I was like, yeah, he's Irish.
Yeah.
She's like, oh shit, I could listen to him read the phone book. It's like, you're welcome.
That's awesome.
But yeah, I'm really excited for McIntyre not being on the main roster. I hope he's not with Ziggler too long, unless they're going to give him like a title run, which they might do.
They could. This
whole...
They looked great. They, even though they were facing Titus Worldwide Horde, more jobbers on the tag division.
Yeah, but
division.
They're both, I mean, Apollo Crews ain't no slouch in the wrestling department.
Nope, and Titus can throw the meanest fucking chops, man.
He does like a hybrid Ric Flair Big Show chop.
Yes, it's like over
Rick
the
Show does like Big Show has those giant hands, so he just like pounds you, but Titus does it with like velocity.
Yeah.
Dude, that shit's gotta hurt.
He did it like 3 times in a row to Ziggler.
Whew. It's like you talk smack to me? Wait until we get in the ring. Stiff, huh? All right.
But even then, like, their chemistry in the ring is perfect, I think. And I love that finisher.
Oh.
That finisher is
amazing. The Claymore to the zigzag?
Yes,
dude. Oh, it's my new favorite tag team finisher.
It's awesome.
It's brutal. As long as they can hit it in sequence, which I've done now twice.
Yes.
I really enjoy that.
So I see them shooting up the tag division.
Yeah, no. Yeah, I definitely think so. It's funny now that all of 3MB is on Raw.
Pretty much. And I hope we see a little mini segment somewhere.
I want to see something in the back.
Yes.
Like off key, like they did with Matt and Jeff.
Yes.
Nothing yep. big. Just like.
No story leading into it, whatever.
No, like, just like kind of meeting backstage in the middle of something and it stops and you're just like. And just like a nod to it.
Yes. I like it.
Maybe they'd have a little thing in the 50 man.
Although, they could. That'd be funny.
I don't know if that'd be big because it's mostly for the live audience, but...
Yeah. No, I don't think they would pop for it.
No. It'll have to be like a smarky thing in the back of a Monday Night Raw. But, yeah, so that's pretty funny to me. DX was just saying they're going to name Ziggler and McIntyre the show.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, now, it makes sense for...
It Ziggler's does, character. But... it's boring. And they're not boring. Well, Drew McIntyre isn't boring.
Ziggler is at Borg of the Rig.
No. His gimmick sucks.
I feel like he should just become the worker in the ring and let McIntyre do all the talking.
Exactly. Yes.
From here on out. That won't happen, but...
Which is usually the inverse. It's usually the little guy is always the talker, and the big guy does all the brawn stuff, you know, the powerhouse.
Yeah.
But I'd much rather hear McIntyre on the mic.
They're the big talkers, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Because I love me some Braun when he talks. Yeah. I'm not a man of many words, but... That guy's hilarious. I don't know if you listen to him outside of the business.
He's awesome.
Yeah, he's got a really good personality.
He really does.
He's got a nice personality, and he looks good.
Mm-hmm.
He's the perfect man.
Biggest beard of them all, man. Yeah. Love that guy.
Yeah. So next we got a pretty good match, Jinder Mahal versus Chad Gable.
I enjoyed this match.
This match was really well done.
It was really good.
Yes. And I feel like Jinder's had nothing but good matches since coming to Raw.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's had some pretty good competitors to wrestle against. First Jeff Hardy and now
Chad
Gable.
Also props to Chad Gable for selling the shit out of this match. Without his selling, it wouldn't have been as great as it was. It was the perfect underdog win. Jinder was beating the shit out of him literally the entire match. There was no Chad Gable offense. Maybe a little bit, but it was
he had his like little runs here and there to give you hope, but then he would squash it. Jinder's so good as like the dominant heel doing that.
Yes.
I feel like he really understands ring psychology, and I think that's where he's gotten so much better. I don't think it's necessarily his wrestling is any better.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like he understands, like, oh, you get the beat the baby face down. He starts to get his fire and come back, and then you squash it.
Yep.
And then the next time he comes back, you squash it. And then finally either it goes to a baby face getting over and winning, or you get winning, or like a smosh finish like what happened where he went for the Coloss. Chad Gable ran him into the turnbuckle, jumped up, and then rolled him over and pinned
that
him.
That was freaking sweet.
Which was awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. I loved it.
And then you got the underdog small wrestler who everybody loves. But just isn't really over right now getting the win, which was big.
And we've seen Chad Gable throw incredible matches in the ring in the past. So we know he's able to throw those fantastic...
He's ready, willing, and Gable? Is that what you just said?
Oh, yeah. Ready, willing, and Gable. I want to see that. I want to see that towel again.
I think he can make it as a singles wrestler. I don't think he's got to be a man of very few words.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he's going to be winning accolades for cutting promos, but... It's kind of like this underdog always getting beat down by the big heels, but somehow finds a way to win. I think it certainly work out.
A much better babyface than he is a heel.
Absolutely. I think it worked with Sheldon because there wasn't very many heel tag teams.
Yeah.
Because the Usos were already getting over as babyfaces.
Yes.
Yeah, no, I like him as like kind of an underdog babyface.
I do too. And you know he's on Raw now, so when Jason Jordan comes back, we'll have American Alpha again.
Or maybe you'll just have a feud between the two of them. Can you imagine them one-on-one against each other?
That would be awesome.
That'd be an incredible match.
That would be awesome.
Next, we get to my favorite match of the night, which was Braun Strowman and Bobby Lashley versus Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn.
This was fun.
I love the beginning of this match. I thought it was really well done. Like, they were trying to outsmart the big guys and jump in the ring. When they got out of the ring, when they went to go out of the ring, they jump back in the ring, yeah. Vice versa. And they thought they had him beat again, and Bobby jumps back in the ring, and Braun doesn't.
No. He was waiting. He was waiting.
He basically grabbed him by the neck and just threw like one of them off to the side and one of them back into the ring so Bobby could work him over.
Yeah, Bobby was the main worker because Braun is the hot tag. You have to have Braun as the hot tag.
And they didn't bring in Braun until the very end.
Yeah.
And Bobby did a good job in the match, just kind of dominating. But then, you know, Sami and Kevin did get some offense in on him,
mm-hmm.
and got a little over on him and cut the ring down. But then when Braun got that hot tag.
Here's a little quick question for you. So I thoroughly enjoy Bobby Lashley's vertical suplex where he holds him forever. I love it. I love it. When Ryback did it, I fucking hated it. Why is that?
Because you just didn't like Feed Me More.
No, I love Feed Me More.
You like the airbrush singlets?
That should be on a brick wall behind a fucking Costco or something. But I don't know why when Bobby does it, I just enjoy it a lot more. I don't know what it is. That was my question. There was really no answer to that.
It was rhetorical.
Yeah. I just don't know why I enjoy it more than when Ryback or anyone else does it. I think when Bobby does it, one, it looks impressive when he does it. And then he does it with one hand and then he like signals he, like, the crowd.
The crowd on. Yeah, it gets the crowd pumped.
It does.
Like, yeah.
A simple move like that. Yeah, he almost dropped
Sami though this week.
Oh, yeah.
He was like, oh, a little too far, and then he took him down.
But he knows when to drop it.
Yeah.
He knows his limits.
But my whole favorite part was just Braun just running around, just destroying them.
On the outside of the ring when he just kept circling around and running into Kevin Owens, going in the ring, Sami, then going out, running into Kevin Owens again, hit Sami again the third time, was the Tyrannosaurus dropkick.
Poor Kevin Owens. He's probably still concussed.
Oh, it was incredible. It was incredible.
I just, to see how strong that man really is, to literally destroy Kevin Owens like that. Kevin Owens is a large human being.
Yes.
I mean, he's got the dad bod, mm-hmm. but he's not a small guy. I mean, he's a big, probably two northwards of 240, I would think.
I was going to say like 260. That's what
I don't think he's super tall, but he's not a small human being. And literally, Braun brushed him off like he was nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. And then he power slammed fucking.
Oh, and he did the thing to Sami and the whole crowd just with the get these hands.
They loved it. They eat it up, man. It's awesome. It's
over. You
don't
have to say it anymore. The crowd just goes crazy.
I love it because it's so organic. Because I remember when Braun Strowman first hit the scene, when everyone's like, who the fuck is this guy joining the Wyatt family?
The black sheep.
The black sheep of the Wyatt family. I was like, dude, this dude's going to be huge if they can do it right. And they did. So the baby faces won this match. Braun pinning Sami. After a power slam.
Was it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, because Bobby did the suplex and then tagged Braun back in. I thought that was pretty cool.
That was awesome. Played it to a T.
Which, I don't know if we'll ever see the two of them again together, but I thought that was good. And I felt like the rub from Bobby definitely got a rub from Braun being on his team.
And I also think that they took the thoughts of the fans before the WrestleMania when we're like, who's going to tag with Braun Strowman? Bobby Lashley was one of the top names, so what do they do? They give it to us for one night. And it was amazing. Because if those two were a tag team, the division is done. No one's beating Bobby Lashley and Braun Strowman, so we're never going to see it again.
Yeah, they won't get back together.
No.
So before we talk about the next match, I like the way they're handling Kurt and Curtis Axel and Bo Dallas.
Yes! Yes! I enjoyed this so much.
Like trying to find a teammate to join up. They're like, we'd be the new Shield.
And they're always wearing the shirts.
Yeah. And Rollins is like, no.
Hard no. Yeah. Hard no.
Hard no. It takes off. And even better was they met up with Finn Balor later and they were like, try to give him the too sweet. And he walks away and he comes back and he takes it and he's like.
He just lowers it.
That's better. So we got Finn Balor and Seth Rollins taking on the remnants of the Miztourage tonight.
They didn't even need to have this match.
No, but it was fun.
It was fun.
And it, you got to have your best wrestlers, I guess, wrestle.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like a squash match for your two best wrestlers that you're going to see in an IC title match. Got to see Rollins hit a stomp and Finn Balor hit the coup de grace.
Yeah.
And pretty much that's it. It was a good match, over and done with.
Mm-hmm.
And for the main event, what
do
we get?
Oh, we got all the women.
We did.
Five on five.
A 10-woman tag match. So can we talk about something? Because I've been hearing rumblings. We haven't seen Alexa wrestle in a while.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Do you know why?
No.
The rumor is that she had some enhancements.
Really?
Yeah. And so, like, she was in there, but as you could tell, she didn't actually get involved, and she hasn't wrestled since WrestleMania.
Wow.
Yeah. That's what everybody's saying, anyway. Okay. I don't know if that's true or not.
Okay.
But there's been, like, I was reading on Squared Circle this week during the Raw stuff. They were talking about that actually beforehand, and then I wasn't watching it live, so I caught up later that night.
Yeah.
And I saw that and was like, oh, she didn't even get physically involved with anybody. Like, she went into the ring and then she snuck back out. And then
yeah,
she took off.
That's right. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah. And so she's like avoided conflict left and right. So the rumor is she had some minor surgery and will be returning to action pretty shortly.
Okay. That makes sense. I can see that. Can we talk about the Alexa Bliss promo?
What do they call it?
It was like a
blissful
PSA.
Moment.
The blissful moment. It was like a PSA. It was awesome.
Yeah.
Like it hit that borderline of like, why are you guys doing this too? This is entertaining as fuck. Basically calling Nia Jax a bully.
Yeah, she's kind of flipped the whole script on her.
It's genius. I think it's genius.
It is very well done.
Yeah.
To try to garner sympathy for her match.
And she does it well. Like,
yeah.
She gave a straight face the entire time.
She's incredible at that. I mean, she's good in the ring too, but her just being able to kind of flip her emotions and do the purely innocent who me kind of person, and then she can just turn it on a dime and be like that nasty just heel, like say the worst things ever.
She's arguably.
Say it. I'll say the word. You say the rest of the sentence.
She's
arguably
the best heel in the company.
See? Teamwork.
Too sweet. I like it. But she is, man. Like, she can give fire promos. She can keep that straight face when she knows that she's giving nothing but shit and can handle herself in the ring.
Yep.
So, props to Alexa Bliss.
Yes. You rock, Alexa Bliss. Hopefully we get to see you wrestle soon. Well, yes. We will see her at Backlash against Nia Jax in a rematch, right?
Correct. Which I'm excited for. Now, do you want to talk about this 5-on-5 match real quick? Like, what were your favorite moments of it? Or do you remember any good moments?
I don't, to be honest with you.
The main takeaway I got from it was Natalya.
Yeah, I mean, I saw the end. The rest of it just kind of seemed like noise.
Mm-hmm. Because it was.
And I hate to say that because there was so much opportunity with the whole Bayley-Sasha thing, Emmer being new. I just don't remember the spots.
Well,
but
all of it kind of was noise, even before the match started. They had all the faces like lined up in the back talking about the Riot Squad, because the Riot Squad had an interview earlier, and all they said was,
Riot Squad.
So there was that. And then you had the awesome Alexa Bliss promo, which was great. And then you had all the faces backstage. Ember was like, yeah, we're gonna take out the team because we're awesome and we're not pushovers. And Natalya was like, yeah, I'm a face now.
I'm a baby face. Love me, please.
Love me. Nia was like, yeah, Alexa Bliss, I'm going to squash her. Mic drop.
Yeah.
But it was there to put all the women in a spot. I mean, they did give them the main event. Cool.
Yeah, you can't be too upset about the fact
not at all
the main event. But it would have been nice to see more than one segment.
And we got to see Ronda Rousey protect her newly made best friend of Natalya and almost beat the living shit out of
Mickey James.
Thank you, Mickey James. Yes,
dude, you're struggling tonight.
Yeah, I am. Sorry.
I will say this though: I kind of want to see Ronda Rousey get her ass kicked by all the heels.
I think that Natalia is turning on her.
That'd be incredible.
Yeah, I think that's my idea of what's going to happen. It just seems. Ooh, beer. Good, really yes. Good beer. Let's wash this out. So that was Raw. It ended with Natalia being taken up by her best friend, Ronda Rousey.
Ronda Rousey.
Yep. And that ended it. Done.
That was the end of Raw.
Good show overall.
I will say this. We kind of hinted on it at the beginning of the show.
Yeah.
It definitely seems like we're in a bit of a holding pattern until this Greatest Royal Rumble thing is over. I think next week we'll probably have a better than normal go-home shows.
Yeah.
Well, we got 2 weeks, right?
2 weeks.
No. This will be the go-home show before Backlash.
Yes.
Right?
2 weeks was last week. This
okay. Greatest Royal Rumble, we'll Raw, SmackDown, and then Backlash the next weekend?
Believe so, yes.
Okay. So, yeah, we'll probably have some pretty intense go-home shows just because everything's kind of been in this weird holding pattern, and they won't have a whole lot of time to adjust if there are some title changes or to get ready.
I can't even imagine the traveling you're going through right now.
Like, yeah, I think probably they got to go home today and pack and probably fly out.
I feel like they're already there. They're flying there.
Oh, yeah.
It's Thursday night.
I was going to say, that's a long-ass flight.
Yeah.
They probably got to go home Wednesday and probably had to leave this morning.
Mm-hmm. To get there, get
and
all
then
set
they'll
up.
Probably fly out
that night.
Friday night.
Yeah.
Overnight, get there on Saturday afternoon.
Well, the time difference, I think, is a little different because they're showing it at noon, our time, Eastern time.
Yeah, so they'll leave at nighttime in Saudi Arabia, fly back, and it'll be Saturday sometime by the time they get back.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's damn. They're going to be tired come Monday Night Raw.
They'll fly home to their homes, go to sleep in their own house for a night, and then fly back out to go to Monday Night Raw on Sunday evening, probably.
Well, cheers to them.
God bless them for having to travel so much. That's crazy.
Yep. Oh, that smells fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, sweet baby Jesus. That is so good.
Told you.
Damn, dude.
Fucking around, dude.
No, you don't fuck around with your beers, man.
Usually not so much.
Ooh. Scared to drink the rest. Not scared. I'm just, I don't want it to go away.
Don't want it to go away.
Yeah.
You want that never ending glass of beer?
That'd be amazing.
Yep. If I went to Hogwarts, that'd be the first spell I learned.
Be a good one.
Yep. You ready to get to
Smack? Diggity, 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 how did the show start, Josh?
Miz TV.
Great way to start off SmackDown Live.
Any show.
What would you do?
He does.
Yeah.
He thinks he's like a game show host.
Because I can do this when crazy shit happens. What? But I'm still connected to the podcast.
And evidently I keep it all together and stable right here.
Yes. Because he's all wordsmith right here. Josh is the wordsmith.
I just think you've lost your words tonight.
I have. It's terrible.
Roman Reigns might have lost his smile, but you lost your words.
The Howard Finkel of Periscope. Yes, Sexbot, I prefer holding my microphone. They always put emojis. What was the name?
As Pep Marks 8. I don't even know what that means.
I don't either.
Block these bots. At first I thought it said block these hoes. I'm just saying, I said bots and I saw hoes. Same
delete.
thing.
Delete. Delete.
Yeah, we got to go back and get rid of those.
Yeah.
Block these hoes. Thanks, Mr. Compton. I appreciate it. So we got Miz TV, where he was supposed to interview who?
Daniel Bryan.
Daniel Bryan. Mm-hmm. But did that happen?
Nope.
Who came out?
Big ass.
Big ass. Big ass.
His theme music has gotten better since he left.
Yes. And I like that he came out in a suit.
I don't know how the internet felt. I took a break from Twitter this whole week.
I noticed from our page.
Yeah. I didn't want to get into another scuffle with somebody bitching about how we think everything's positive. But
eat it, bitches. We're positive.
Exactly. Exactly. Thanks for joining us.
Don't be hateful.
But I really, 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 really enjoyed Big Cass in this.
Well, looks like you don't have a guest, so I'm your guest now. Interview me. Go ahead. Take a seat.
Well, I was supposed to be interviewing Daniel Bryan.
Well, nobody cares about Daniel Bryan. Oh, he had a career-threatening injury. He might have never made it back to WWE. Well, I was on the shelf nursing an ACL injury for 7 months. And I worked 24/7 to get back here as soon as possible. And the day that I get cleared, guess who also gets cleared? Daniel Bryan.
When Daniel Bryan got cleared and was able to return to the ring was the exact day that Big Cass
was cleared.
And no one talked about Big Cass. It was all Daniel Bryan.
Well, yeah.
Of course it was.
Which makes sense. But
who the fuck cares about Big Cass?
But in Big Cass's eyes, Daniel Bryan screwed him over.
Yeah.
And now you're in the crosshairs of Big Cass and you're little Daniel Bryan.
Little guy.
Will guy.
You remind me of me, and I hate that. Because I was picked on when I was a kid.
And then I grew 7 feet tall, and you can't teach that.
I was hoping he was going to throw that in there, and he didn't.
No. But he's washed his hands with Enzo, evidently.
Yeah. I still think he needs to make a jab at it. He'll
bring it up at some point.
That'll get over with the crowd.
If you're out here to try to help me with Daniel Bryan, I don't need your help.
Despite what you think, Miz, not everything in this world is about you. For me, I know what it's like to be a Daniel Bryan. Up until the age of 16, I was a little guy. I was small. I was pathetic. I was weak. I know what it's like to be Daniel Bryan, and guess what? It sucks. I got beaten. I got bullied. I got pushed around until one day I got real sick and tired of getting pushed around. And I started to grow. And I grew and I grew and I grew to be 7 feet tall. And when I got to be 7 feet tall, I went back to everybody that pushed me around and I beat the hell out of them. And they deserved every beating they got, just like I deserved every beating I got when I was a little guy. Daniel Bryan reminds me of myself when I was a little guy, and I despise him. I'm going to make sure Daniel Bryan goes back to where he belongs. On the shelf, beaten, battered, bruised, and retired. And he will never, never cast a shadow over me or anybody else again. Yes, yes, yes.
Really a very bitter Big Cass.
I kind of hope he goes down the super heel route and he brings it up and be like blames the audience for Enzo. And that'd be like the biggest like heat ever.
It would be.
It's like my buddy's gone and it's all because of you guys. I'm telling you,
you keyboard warriors.
Yeah.
Oh God, that'd be awesome. I would love that.
So they cut back to the back and Daniel Bryan's beat the fuck up.
Yeah, because Becky Lynch and Asuka, they were walking, coming to the ring, and then they were like, oh my gosh. And then two refs were over Daniel Bryan. Daniel, what happened? What happened, Daniel? Words don't work.
I feel like every time somebody's beat up in the back, that's what they should do from now on.
It should be they should just play him doing that over whatever they're saying, no matter what.
Just dub
every
it.
Time. Dub it in.
Oh, that'd be incredible.
Oh, God. That was such a good sell.
So we got a tag match.
Yeah.
First match of the night. Yeah. Iconics versus Becky Lynch and Asuka.
Becky Lynch's new nickname is Ms. Tag Team. She's only ever in tag matches, dude. She had one match, singles. It was with Carmella.
I thought it was going to be the cheeky lass, but...
That singlet, dude. Not a singlet. What is her cheeks in now?
They're not in anything now, bro.
That, my friend, is glorious.
That is glorious.
Yes. But even, even having the iconic duo in their first tag match, Asuka was involved, tagging with Becky. I did not give a shit about this match.
Why not?
Well, the only reason why is because of the Iconics, because I wanted to see them in tag action. But this doesn't do anything for Becky Lynch. That's my biggest anger with what they're doing with Becky right now. She's just cannon fodder.
I mean, you say something about Becky like that, but then you think about her partner, who has now lost two matches in a row.
She didn't lose the match, though. She didn't take the pin.
But she lost because she was on the tag team. Her record is she's now lost two in a row.
Yeah, there's no luster and glory of putting Asuka in a match.
She's just another regular female superstar.
Yeah, exactly.
Which we knew was going to happen, but it's just surprising she lost again already. But they're really pushing the Iconics right now, which I'm happy about.
I'm all for that. I think that's great.
Hilarious.
Oh, their opening promo was literal fire. I love how they do the phone call. They're like, ring. Is this Becky Lynch? Oh, you sound just like her. Oh, it's awesome. I love it.
Your Australian sounds a little British. I'm just saying.
Yeah, well, pull back my... I can't do it. I'm just... Stop.
Just give up.
I'm done. It's okay. I'm done.
It's okay.
You know who else gives up? My bladder.
Jesus Christ, dude.
Hey, all I gotta say is this hasn't happened
at all. You have so much editing to do.
Yep.
Go empty that little tiny thing and come back. Your bladder, that is. Three times. Even Jamie's clowning you. All right, so I'm going to move on because we'll be here all night waiting for Leo to pee. So next match we got kind of a rematch, but not really. They did the opposite of what they normally do with single wrestlers and put them in tag team matches. They took two tag teams and made the singles match. So you had Usos versus Bludgeon Brothers, but instead of a regular tag match, we got Jimmy Uso versus Eric Rowan, which was a good way to give the Bludgeon Brothers a loss, which didn't really count. Pretty much the Bludgeon Brothers were destroying them, and then Naomi came out and shook her ass, distracted the Bludgeon Brothers. Evidently they like to go to strip clubs.
Yeah, so here's the weird thing about that.
I was like, she came out and shook her ass.
Well, first,
and hypnotized the Bludgeon Brothers, and we found their weakness. And it's big booties.
It's strip clubs and big booties.
It's big booties. All you gotta do is have somebody shake their big booty, and the Bludgeon Brothers are weak.
Well, they had a promo.
That's literally the story they told, right?
Yes.
Okay, not against it. I'm not upset about it. I'm staying positive about it. But I just want to make sure that what I saw was what, in fact, they were trying to pull off. Very not so simple terms.
I didn't mind it, but in the midst of watching it, I was thoroughly confused. First off, they had a promo backstage with the Usos like hyping each other up. Jimmy's having this match, and then Naomi comes in because they're playing off this. Because Naomi came in last week, she screamed bloody murder.
Yeah, and got him to stop.
So she got him to stop.
Get your hands on my man.
She came up to Jimmy and was like, I got a bad feeling about this. Just don't go out there. He's like, you know how I handle business. You know what I mean? She. Then they gave a quote.
Racist.
That's how they talk. The Usos, bro.
This is how I talk.
They gave a sweet, cool handshake that a awesome married couple does, apparently.
They just were cool as shit.
They are cool as shit. Yeah. Those guys are awesome. But now you fast forward through the match, like you said, Jimmy was getting his ass beat, and all of a sudden, I'm a band on me, and no one's talking to me. I'm a maniac. I was like, what? Why? Why is she playing her whole intro?
She did her
whole intro. She did the dance thing.
She doesn't have a short version of her intro. Have you ever noticed that?
There's not.
Like, everybody else has, like, a short intro when there's, like, a six-woman tag.
She does the whole thing.
She does the whole thing.
The whole thing.
You pulling my intro. I'm going to do the whole thing. Fuck you. Deal with it. I'm a glow, bitches. I'm a glow.
And that's exactly what she did. The entire time I'm staring at the TV like, what is happening? And that's what the Bludgeon Brothers were doing. Like,
I just, the camera angle like showed her and she was like shaking her butt. Mm-hmm. And like, I don't think it was meant to be that way, but it looked like they were skeeving on Naomi. And that's how Jimmy and Jay got the win.
It's exactly how it went down.
Okay.
I know.
Did that look like that?
It totally looked like that.
I just wanted to make sure that, like, I wasn't, like, totally out of left field feeling that way.
Nope.
Okay. Yeah. I didn't hate it.
No, I didn't either. I was a little confused.
Yeah. I was just like, what the hell was that?
Because Jimmy also told her not to come out. He's like, I got this.
Well, she's a strong, independent woman. She don't need no man.
She don't need no man. But she wants her man.
I'm pretty sure that Jimmy Uso doesn't tell her anything.
No.
Pretty sure she tells him. I mean, just like my wife, I don't tell my wife to do anything. I'm just saying, strong, independent woman.
Right. It's
a good thing to have.
Mm-hmm.
But don't tell her what to do.
No.
Because she can do the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
And she did. And saved their asses. And probably got in the back and was like, see?
Ass. He was like, sorry, baby. Ass.
He was like, sorry, baby.
Yep. But yeah, they end up winning. Good.
Next we got Carmella with her never-ending flaunting the fact that she's a legitimate title holder.
This was amazing. I love this.
She's really good at getting over with the crowd.
Like, yeah.
Or getting the crowd to boo her.
Oh, absolutely.
It was awesome.
Props to both women in this contract, because I usually hate contract signings. I think they're awful. I think they're terrible.
Wait. Before we go into this, what... Didn't Renee look weird this week?
A little bit, yeah.
I feel like they did the whole women's makeup thing to the announcers. I
feel like we get into this cycle every 3 or 4 weeks where we just can't stand the women's makeup. Maybe
they're all so beautiful. Like, they feel like they do everything they can to take that away from them sometimes.
It's like, we get it, they're on camera.
It's different from show to show. Like, Charlie was in the ring on Raw and looked gorgeous.
Not overly dud.
Yes. But then they brought in Renee, and she didn't even look like Renee.
No.
That's the thing. It wasn't just like she didn't look, like, attractive. She did. She didn't look like herself.
No, she didn't.
Looked like a different person. It was really weird to me.
It's like that makeup person takes, like, they go in rotation, and then, like, the bad makeup person comes in for a week, and then they go.
How can we make this person not look like what everybody expects to see, and then just, like, whatever?
I don't know. I didn't like it.
Anyway, I don't know why. I was like, the whole time, is that really Renee, or is that some kind of life model decoy?
Is that a robot,
just a
Renee?
Off. Robot Renee.
But I gotta
contract signing.
I do have to say, though, for one, Carmella gloating was amazing.
Yes, I almost don't want her to lose the title for a while just so she can continue to gloat.
Because entertaining is shit.
Yes, she is just entertaining in general.
She not only said, if you guys missed it last week, I will play my beautifully packaged promo video for you again. I was like, okay, I don't mind seeing it again because I enjoyed it. She didn't do it once. She didn't do it twice. She did it three times in a row. And the third time got interrupted by the queen, Charlotte fucking Flair, who had the meanest stare down with Carmella that I've ever seen from one wrestler to another. She did not take her eyes off for the entire time, minus the little spin she does with her cape or robe.
Robe?
Yeah.
her Ric Flair robe.
Oh, it's awesome.
And then she proceeded to slam her head on the table and then throw the table on top of her.
And then wipe her feet, just like Carmella did when Carmella beat her.
Yep.
This is good storytelling.
Yeah, this is like blood feud now. It's like hot.
I want to see Carmella win.
She's going to win some way.
She has to.
Like, Charlotte's going to dominate the match and have her beat, and then Carmella's going to do some weird thing like poke her in the eye.
Some type of Ric Flair-esque maneuver.
Oh, that would be incredible. That would
be awesome. And then continue it on somehow. I don't know how. Because if she wins, there's no other rematch for Charlotte.
I don't know. It's the land of opportunity or a land of handouts, as Samoa Joe says.
I just don't want to see it flip-flop like they did between Charlotte and Sasha.
No.
Over and over and
I don't
over
think. Again. I think they need to milk this Carmella run.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe it finishes by champion's advantage. Like, she runs out and gets the count out.
That'd be cool.
And then they give her another opportunity.
Yeah.
I think. I don't know. I mean, they might give it back to Charlotte, and then they could do one more match.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't want them to be done with Carmella, though, no. Like, on the top of the card. She's just too good.
Yes. And the title makes her even better.
Yes. Well, it paints her as the spotlight, and before she was just, like, second fiddle or third fiddle or fourth fiddle or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, with only one title in the limelight, or one title on each show for the women, unless you have an excellent feud going, a la Bayley, Sasha, Nia, Alexa, even though that's the title.
Yeah.
Or what we're turning into, like, this Ronda, Natalia, Mickey, whoever, you don't really have an opportunity to really shine.
Mm-hmm.
And Carmella being on top is only good for us, I feel like.
Yes, agreed.
Be nice if Becky could get herself back up there, but we'll see.
I can see it before the end of the year, the WWE calendar year.
I kind of feel like Becky's a little bit like the Dean Ambrose of the women.
Yeah, that's
she's
that's
like
a good
the
way
perfect
to
company woman. Like, at some point, she's going to be rewarded. She's always there, always willing to work. There, I'm sure she's there every single week.
Yeah,
I just get that vibe from her. You know what I mean? Like, she's willing to do the gritty, tough stuff. Like, oh yeah, I'll team with whoever. Just do it. And then at some point, they're just going to reward her with a long title run.
I'd like that a lot.
She definitely deserves it, just like I thought Dean deserved all his accolades, even though, yeah. You know, Rob hates him for whatever reason. I don't know.
Maybe. I still don't understand why people hate Dean Ambrose. I'll never understand.
I can't wait for him to get back. I've been missing Dean.
He's going to have one of the biggest return pops.
Imagine when his fucking music hits. Can't wait to rub it in Rob's face that week.
That'll be nice.
I'm going to chug a dragon's milk and be like, see, motherfucker?
Dean Ambrose is amazing.
Be negative all you want, but I'm not going to.
Not doing it. It's too easy to be negative, yeah. Man.
You go ahead the way the dark side. We'll stay here in the light.
Mm-hmm. The Jedis of WWE.
Jedi Wrestling Podcast.
Ooh.
Speaking of awesome movies.
Mm-hmm.
You can go see... Oh, wait, never mind. Fuck.
Yeah, we still need to do that.
Yeah, I'm going to see Infinity War tomorrow night.
Cool.
I'm legit taking my kids out at 10:30 to watch a movie. It's the weekend, whatever.
I'm sure you and all the other parents are doing the same exact thing.
Well, I just unplugged something.
That's fine.
Whoopsie. But no, Reagan's got to work tomorrow night, so we're going to go as soon as she gets off work, so... Family Marvel movie night.
That'll be fun.
Yeah, I think that's probably... We're missing some people tonight, and I'm sure... I think Burrow is at the premiere tonight for the midnight showing, so...
There you go.
I think we're missing some of our regulars because of Infinity War, so I guess yeah. I can't hate too much.
No, not at all.
You can always pop into Periscope and be that asshole on your phone in the movie.
You can watch us while you're waiting for the premiere of Infinity Wars tonight.
Well, it's 12 till, yeah, so... Well, but they start the premieres early now.
They usually do it at 10.
Like, yeah.
Well, like on Thursdays.
Seen them like as early as 7 for some of these big movies, so mm-hmm. I'm sure they're trying to hit like 200 million like the first weekend.
It's going to blow the box offices.
I'm not necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, unless my wife calls me and tells me, watch the damn thing, which I'm sure she will.
Yeah.
So I might watch it at work tomorrow.
It'll be something to.
I mean, I have work to do. I have such a busy day tomorrow, but
you can have it on without sound, like sitting on your phone somewhere. See how it goes.
Yeah, I'll let you know.
So
I'll text you and see if I watched it. If not,
so back to SmackDown. What did we just talk about? The women's tag match? No, Carmella and Charlotte contract signing.
Yes.
What happened? What happened after that?
I'm not sure. Chris was saying he's off work tomorrow.
Nice.
Are you got any plans? Are you just gonna sit back and chill and watch it? Are you gonna imbibe in some beverages? And if I was off tomorrow, I'd be day drinking.
Hell yeah,
for show. Oh, we got freaking Shelton Benjamin versus Randy Orton.
Yeah, that was weird.
Yeah, are they gonna push Shelton Benjamin?
Well, first it was Shelton Benjamin coming out, and then we wanted to see a rematch from last week with Jeff Hardy, but then
Randy Orton interrupted Jeff Hardy.
Well, not really, because Jeff Hardy came out and just stopped because he was like, "Well, I know who's coming out," and he stood there for like 30 seconds before Randy Orton's music hit. Like he just knew. Well, and of course he was coming out, but it wasn't an interruption. He was just like, "All right, come on." Come on, Randy. Come on.
Yeah, like, here you go. You deserve this.
Here you go. I did it to you last week. Go ahead. Go ahead, buddy. Go ahead. But Randy Orton, Shelton Benjamin had a pretty fun match. I enjoyed it. Jeff Hardy was at ringside, wasn't on commentary. He just kind of watched the whole thing unfurl.
They've been doing that a lot lately. Have you noticed that? Where they'll put a guy on commentary but don't put him on a headset?
I feel like they really need to trust the talent to be on commentary to let them. Because, I mean, you have four people at that one point taking turns talking. It's a lot.
Yeah.
But yeah, fun match. Who won this match? Was it Shelton?
Shelton won.
Yeah.
So Shelton. Benjamin. Speaking of, where the fuck is the New Day?
Yeah, they've been gone the last 2 weeks. Yeah. Well, last week they had a promo backstage with...
Oh, that was with Ty Dillinger and R-Truth.
Yes.
That's true.
They're just showcasing the newer talent that's coming and switch sides, I guess. It's the only thing I can see.
Yeah, so the reason Orton lost was there was a masked man that attacked Jeff Hardy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that's
right.
Turned
out it was Sunil Singh. Hit him with an RKO, which gave Shelton Benjamin the chance to...
Yes.
Hit him with... Pay dirt?
Yeah, pay dirt.
Oh, that's right. They did have a backstage segment with the bar.
Which
forgot
was,
all about that.
It was interesting. It was fun. It was, you know, gimmicky, and they weren't going to do their line, the bar, and then they walked away, and then they came in. We are the bar.
The Ford line.
As they were eating
Ford trucks.
As they were eating pancakes and booty-os out of chalices. I thought that was pretty entertaining.
they were
promoting their new book. That's the big thing.
Oh, that's right.
They just came out with the Book of Booty.
The Book of Booty.
Which I'm actually pretty interested to read. Mainly because it's called The Book of Booty.
I bought it for the articles, gentlemen. The articles.
Are we at the main event?
Main event of the night.
That's right. Shinsuke Nakamura.
Rusev Day.
Versus
AJ Styles.
Luke Gallows. Karl Anderson.
Yeah. Got the club back together.
Too sweet. So they basically just traded Finn Balor for AJ Styles.
Yeah, you know, that's pretty much what they did with the Bullet Club anyway.
Yeah, pretty much. Do you think this is going to be ongoing? Do you think they're going to stay together as like a quote-unquote staple?
It would be nice.
I'd enjoy it.
What'd it would think? Give them a permanent spot somewhere instead of just fitting him in wherever and, you know, they haven't given him a title chance, so...
I want to ask AJ Styles a question because I know he watches our show because we're the Smart Spot podcast. AJ, have you ever considered buying a jockstrap
with a protector,
with a cup over your nuts? Because this is like the fifth week in a row that you've gotten nut shot from Shinsuke Nakamura.
I love that you sold it with the look. You're like, Shinsuke Nakamura? Oh my god.
But seriously, man, he has something like, of course it's a weak spot for any
Maybe
man.
AJ's just packing a hog and Shinsuke's jealous.
Apparently, because he wants to touch it every week with his inside forearm.
He wants to physically. That's.
Kakamura! Every time he does it, I'm just going to go, Kakamura!
No more Kinshasa. It's just the Kakamura.
The Kakamura. Done. Dub that shit.
Come on!
Come on! Kakamura!
So is that what it is? Like, the whole time he was like, come on. He was asking somebody to do it to him. And since nobody would ever do it to him, he's like, fuck it, I'm going to take it out on AJ.
And his nuts.
He just wants somebody to repeat the favor, and then he'll turn back babyface. As soon as somebody nuts shines him, he'll be like, all right, Kinshasa.
Now, I know, before we started tonight's podcast, I know you told me you didn't finish SmackDown.
No, I did not.
The one cool, besides the Kakamura takeaway, was that Shinsuke got new entrance music.
What?
So, after Rusev Day came out, which Aiden English, of course, kills it on the microphone. He did more rapping this week. Rusev Day came out, and then when it cut to Shinsuke, it was like a video of a bunch of people getting ready to play live instruments and like a rock theme of Shinsuke's song, but it was a video package and it sounded incredible. Seen the Shinsuke.
For a year now.
Yeah, the whole we get his intro. Now it's shorter, awesome. Condensed, has Japanese lyrics over it because he knows speak no English.
I know speak and no English.
It fits. I like it.
Yeah, no, that was. I'm gonna have to wait for that to pop up on Spotify.
Hell yeah. Oh, it's gonna be so good.
Like between him and Genders, man.
Oh, Genders is so good, so man. Good. One of the best intros. Yeah. Love it.
I kind of want to look. I'm going to have to go back and listen to Big Cass's again now.
Yeah, Big Cass's is good. Oh, like, honestly, like, there's no bad, like, terrible intro music in WWE. Like, terrible, where I'm like,
Stephanie McMahon.
I like hers because it fits her persona.
Welcome to the Queen Dam.
It fits her persona.
It does.
But yeah, I loved it. Good week of wrestling.
Yeah. So that's Raw and SmackDown. Didn't get to NXT or 205 Live, did you watch either?
I watched both.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah.
Look at Leo. Gold star for Leo this week.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, buddy.
Hey, you're welcome.
Not much, honestly, in the landscape of 205 Live, minus the entire thing, was a gauntlet match.
Really?
For the number one contender to go up against Cedric Alexander at the Greatest Royal Rumble, because Buddy Murphy has not made weight.
Again.
Yeah, which is good. I don't want them to rush Buddy Murphy into the main event scene for 205 Live. Hold him off a little bit. He's been hot. He's on fire. Let that settle a little bit. The fact that he has to make weight every week just shows that dude is incredibly, like, fit. But for him to be under 205 pounds with that muscle mass, like, it's crazy.
It's a good story, so once you bring him back, you know he's going to be like that. He's like the big, it's like the Braun Strowman of 205 Live.
He is, pretty much.
He's the monster.
So the gauntlet match started off with, I'll tell you, it's going to be Mustafa Ali versus
TJP.
Thank you. You're the best. TJP, Mustafa Ali. Yeah, he did that. Oh, he dabbed in his face like a little punk bitch.
I knew he dabbed.
So here's how it started. With TJP, Mustafa Ali, they went at it for a little bit. Mustafa Ali gets injured in the match somehow with his arm because TJP was working his arm the entire time. Ends up beating TJP. Next person that comes out, Drew Gulak.
Oh.
The submission specialist of the WWE.
I'm pretty sure Mustafa Ali didn't last very long.
No. Well, he did. He did. Every matchup lasted quite a bit.
Yeah.
So Drew Gulak, Mustafa went at for a while. Drew Gulak takes him out with his Dragon Sleeper, which is nasty.
Yeah.
One, two, three. Fourth person to come in was Tony Nese. So we had Tony Nese versus Drew Gulak. They used to be best friends. They hate each other now. They threw an incredible match. Yeah. And that's weird me saying Tony Nese threw...
Not hearing Drew Gulak put on a good match, but Tony Nese.
Tony Nese. Yeah, he was selling like a motherfucker for Drew. Drew almost got up in the Dragon Sleeper. Tony Nese powers out of it. And actually, Drew got him back in the Dragon Sleeper, taps him out. So nice. Drew moves on to the final round against Lucha Kalisto. So the final match of 205 Live, Kalisto versus Drew Gulak. Drew Gulak has already
sorry,
love the dancing. Drew Gulak already put out two of the biggest names in 205 Live. Now Kalisto's coming in fresh and hot.
Selena Del Sol.
Yeah,
could call that.
Kalisto is going to the Greatest Royal Rumble against Cedric Alexander. Who's winning that match?
Cedric Alexander.
Simple enough.
Hot take here, folks.
Boom, boom.
Hot take.
So that was 205 Live. NXT
was all about the
Undisputed Era.
Yep.
Yeah, that's what it started with. They all got some mic time.
I heard Rodney Strong cut a fire promo.
Yeah, because we haven't heard from him since
he joined
TakeOver.
The Undisputed Era.
Yeah, and he was like, you know what? I've been doing everything for everybody else, but not for myself. Now I'm doing this for myself, and I'm joining a team that is dripping in gold, which they are. And everyone else kind of threw the same kind of promo.
Wait. Would you say the Undisputed Era is dripping in finesse?
Ooh. They are, dude.
They don't make no sense.
No. But it was good to see them all. It was good to see them all in mic work. They all threw promos. So we got to hear from everybody. And then our boy Adam Cole, baby. He has a one-on-one match to defend the North American title versus Oney Lorcan.
Oney Lorcan wins this match. No, I bet all my money on it, right?
You are bankrupt, sir. But it was actually a fun match because, like, 35% of the crowd was behind Oney Lorcan, and the rest was behind Adam Cole.
Because it was good NXT
wrestling
fan match.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Oh, we're going to root for against the heel.
Exactly. I
respect that.
Oney Lorcan is fun to watch.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying anything against Oney Lorcan, but
yeah,
he's against Adam Cole on his title defense.
Yeah.
Like, how did Oney Lorcan get that match?
Nothing.
William Regal was like, here, you can wrestle Oney Lorcan.
Yeah, take him. You're good. But in the promo, Adam Cole told Undisputed Era, hey, guys, I just want to let you know, I won the belt by myself. I'm going to defend it by myself. So if you guys want to go to the back, watch the match, you know, give me some support back there. Much appreciated. And I was like, that's good shit, dude.
Because he was going against Oney Lorcan.
Yeah. Like Oney Lorcan has a chance, basically what he said. But
he's like, I got this because I'm Adam Cole, baby.
But in the middle of the match, Oney Lorcan was working on his ribs because his ribs were still taped up from NXT TakeOver.
Yep.
And there was a point to where Adam Cole was outside of the ring after getting tossed on the top rope, flipped over. Undisputed Era comes out. Well, just Bobby Fish and Roddy.
Yeah.
So they come out, and Bobby Fish went up to Adam Cole while on the ground on the outside. He threw up the X, and I thought that was genius. Like, he goes, no, he's hurt. He threw up the X, and he brought a ref and medical staff out to check him out. While that was going on, Roddy comes around and does a big-ass backbreaker on the apron to Oney, rolls him back in the ring, runs around, and like, oh, no, 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 he's good. They pick him up. They roll him back in the ring, and then he hits him with a... I don't remember his finisher, but he hits him with the finisher. Boom, 1, 2, 3, done.
Nice.
And they all celebrate in the ring.
So then what happened with Aleister Black and Johnny Wrestling?
So Johnny Wrestling comes out first because you introduce the challenger.
Yeah.
He comes out to his music, then gets his ass kicked once again by Tommaso Ciampa.
What a surprise.
Sarcasm in its finest right there by Joshua Brown. Gets put through the announcing table. Battle it out. Then they stretcher Johnny out, like on a stretcher the entire time. And when they get him in the ambulance on the outside of the arena, Tommaso is on top of one of the moving trucks and just going, like looking out like, yeah, I did
see you
that.
Later.
I did that.
That's what you get for giving me a wedgie on NXT TakeOver.
and slapping my back on the concrete that I ripped off. No big deal. So we cut back to the ring, and Aleister Black is just, his music hits, he's huffing and puffing down to the ring, and he's talking to the NXT universe. He's like, I promised you guys that we would have a title match, and that's exactly what we're going to do. And as he was getting ready to say something, we hear Sanity's music.
Ooh,
and all three of the dudes come out. Eric Young,
Kenny Dane, and
Alexander Wolf.
Yep.
Eric Young is throwing a nasty promo at him in the ring. He's like, look, we've run roughshod over the tag team division. Blah, blah, blah. So you know what we're going to do? We're going to... And he's got this awesome smoker's voice.
Yes, he's got a great voice.
He's got to sound like a smoker.
Yeah. And it's kind of like
this title show.
So they have a title match.
Nice.
And it was incredible. And Eric Young was over a majority of the match.
Sure he was. He's an awesome wrestler.
He's a great wrestler. But in the slight instance of him not paying attention, here comes Black Mass. Poof, right in the face. Pin 1, 2, 3. You do not kick out of the Black Mass.
Wrong. It's not fake news.
Oh, what's up, Alan? Brother from Down Under. So not only did he Black Mass Eric Young, he Black Massed Alexander Wolf when coming into the ring and Killian Dane and putting them
all
out.
Black Mass for everybody.
Because you guys are going to the main roster.
That's right. He black-masked him up to the main roster.
And successfully defended his title.
Yep. So...
In the midst of that, they were building up the women's division as well.
Yeah. I don't know what they promos. Do now. Johnny's going to get a title shot, but you know this Tommaso Ciampa thing is not over.
They're having another one.
Can't wait.
This could be awesome.
There's no better feud in all of wrestling right now, as far as I'm concerned.
No, it's the best one. And that's it. That's all of WWE wrestling in a nutshell.
Oh, man.
Whew! Did it. We did it. We made it. Let me do the shout-outs this week. Shout-outs to all the wonderful, first of all, PWL Good Brothers. I'm just going to go through them real fast because we do it every week and we will never not do it. Like our PWO Good Brothers. You got the WNA podcast. We've turned to the dark side. Thanks, Rob. What did I miss?
You didn't start with them first?
No.
You're such a dick.
I am, because I have an order in my head. I'm sorry. Next, it's going to be the Brocast, because one half of the Brocast, Alan, shows up to our show probably the last few weeks. So thank you, Alan.
Quite a few weeks. Thanks,
yes,
Alan.
We appreciate that. Tell Tom to get his ass over here. I don't know what the fuck he's doing right now, but he needs to show up, because I watch his Periscope videos in his car. Yeah. Okay.
It's because of his beard. That's the only
such
thing
you glorious
watch.
Beard.
It's a delicious looking beard.
Oh man, so good. So you got the Brocast, or PWO Aussie Brothers from Down Under. Check them out. You also have Wretched Wrestling Podcast, who last 2 weeks it's been Fred by himself. Poor Fred. I stand with Fred. I don't know what the fuck Craig doing right now.
Craig Dixon is a hater.
Craig Dixon's a dicks.
True story. He's a slap dick.
Slap dick. Slap nuts. Then you got Boar Meets World, who used to be Roz Boar.
And is getting ready to be
Monday Night Boar. So just follow them.
Bor bor bor
bor bor bor bor bor bor bor bor bor bor bor bor bor bor bor bor. I think we just made their new theme song. I'm gonna use that and just shove it at them. Like, guys, this is your hot theme right now.
Put a nasty track behind it.
Oh yeah,
saying bor
bor bor bor bor bor bor bor bor bor bor. Wub wub.
Gimmick table.
You also have the gimmick table, who throw amazing interviews for indie pro wrestling wrestlers, people behind the scenes, everyone you can think of in the indie scene. Check out the gimmick table. Did I miss anybody?
You missed our favorite website for checking out all our wrestling news, getting great opinion pieces, and also checking out other podcasts, including our very own.
Oh yeah,
thechairshot.com.
Hashtag use your head.
We love The Chair Shot. They always feature our podcast every week, but they also do a great job of bringing you all the latest wrestling news and as well as some great opinion pieces.
Wonderful.
Some you'll agree with and some you'll want to punch in the face, which is great because you get some differing opinions, which is important in this community.
That's pro wrestling for you.
Absolutely.
Where can people find us, Josh?
Well, right here on Periscope every Thursday night around 10 o'clock until whenever the hell we get off. Find us on which we're linked to Twitter at SmarkSpot. Check us out there. If you do check us out on Periscope, please give us a follow on Periscope and give us a follow on Twitter. We always appreciate the retweets as well.
Mm-hmm.
You can email us if you want to ask us questions or you have any ideas that we could use on the show. SmarkSpot@gmail.com. You can catch us on Facebook, Smart Spot Podcast, although all we basically do is post our podcast every week on there because we don't really use Facebook because fuck Facebook.
Fuck Facebook.
And then you can check us out on Podbean, Google Play, and, of course, iTunes. Look up Smart Spot Podcast, and you'll see our beautiful bearded mugs. And go ahead and give us a follow, subscribe, and if you get a chance to review us, we really appreciate it, and it helps us out. Other than that, get bent. Check us out every Thursday on Periscope.
Oh, yeah. What are the five things that people can get from this show, Josh?
Wrestling.
Wrestling.
Weird.
Weird.
Beer.
Beer.
Beard.
Beards.
Positivity.
Podcast of Positivity.
And that's what we do.
Oh, yeah.
Too sweet?
Too sweet.
And we'll check you next week.